And no drinking, no smoking, nothing, none of these. I don't have those kind of testimonies that people have, you know. Kill 5 people, smoke, drink, take drugs, half dead, you know. Died nearly 3 times and then born again. You know, glorious testimony. I don't have those kind of testimonies. And but one thing possibly I learned from my strict father is he's a man of few words. My mother is a woman of almost no words. Hadn't speak, you know, just very quiet. And as a result, I become a person of very few words, seldom speak, and didn't bother with other people's lives. And the Lord began to show that even though I didn't know Him, there was at least a cycle of sowing good things, desire for good things. And then after I came to know Him, I was sowing good things, began to learn to sow good words into people's life. Look for the best in people. And then the Lord began to tell me that every life to reap the goodness and the mercy of God, we need to give mercy. We need to show mercy. We need to learn to forgive. We need to learn to forget. We need to give mercy. And one thing I treasure more than anything, because I know surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. But I know that mercy given is proportional to mercy shown. The Lord said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And if there's one thing we need in this life, I can assure you, more than anything else, is the mercy of God. Learn to show mercy, learn to forgive, learn to forget. And keep sowing these kind of things and you will reap. And that's why God is concerned in all these things. And here is the Edomites. They're constantly sowing strife. Constantly fighting. Constantly saying no, no to the Israelites. And one day, the judgment that God pronounced was terrible. God pronounced through Obadiah that the entire nation of Edomites will be wiped out. According to history, when both the Greek Empire and the Babylonian Empire, it started with the Babylonian Empire, it wiped the Edomites partially. Then under the Greeks, they were wiped out again. Then during the Roman period, when Judas Maccabees was leading a revolt among the Jews, they completely wiped out the Edomites and there's no more trace of them today. Edomites are gone. There's no more trace of them today. Prophecy fulfilled. But today, the Israelites are still around. The Israelites are still around. The mercy of God. Love God, love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your fellow neighbor. Love your distant neighbor. Some people can only love neighbors far away, but next door quarrel. Some people can love the one near to them, but the one far, far always quarreling. Say, how come they so far can quarrel? Quarrel to phone, quarrel to letter. Learn to love thy neighbor for more than one, distance and near. When you say, who is thy neighbor? Then the Samaritan parable is for us. Those who come across your path. Everyone is thy neighbor. Now that's not the jewel yet in Obadiah. This is where the jewel is. In the two parts of the book of Obadiah, there are prophecies that point to the last days. Last days. See, the change in the prophecy starts in verse 17. Suddenly it talks about the Israelites. It says, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame. Do you know it's step by step? You must have deliverance first, then you have holiness, then you have prosperity, and then you have the fire of God. the anointing. It's interesting that Mark 16, verse 17, 18 starts this way. In my name, after going to preach the gospel to every creature, he says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. And he says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall pick up serpents and shall not hurt them. They shall drink deadly poison, shall not hurt them. There's a progression there. Look at Mark 16 carefully. A familiar scripture, but let's consider the chronological order this time. Mark 16. Verse 17, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. You must face the enemy first. Because this world is ruled by spirits. Demon spirits rule from their domain. Wicked spirits in dark places. Principalities and powers. When Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit in Matthew 4, Mark 1 and Luke 4, the first thing he encountered was Satan himself. We must wrestle, like Ephesians 6 verse 12, with principalities, powers, with wicked rulers of the darkness of this age, with wicked spirits in the high places. So we must have deliverance first. The demons must be evicted out. Then, holiness. Then, prosperity. You cannot enjoy prosperity before you chase out those demons. You cannot enjoy prosperity before righteousness and holiness. That is the law of God. Righteousness profited unto all things. He that hideth his sin shall in the end be led to poverty. And this is the steps that are given by Obadiah. Four chronological steps. Overcome those demonic activities in your life. Every one of us, to a certain extent, whether we know it or do not know it, encounters demonic activity. Perhaps it could be a habit in your life that have put you into bondage. You must overcome it. You must break the ties and the bondages that the enemy has put over your life. The power is in your hands. When you break the demon power, then you taste, number two, the holiness, the freedom, the liberty, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And nothing tastes better than that. And after you taste the righteousness and the holiness, all the goodness and mercy, all the prosperity, everything you need in this life will come right to your door, be laid on your table. You never need to beg for food. The lions will lack and suffer hunger. The young lions starve. But you will never lack any good thing. Because you love righteousness. You love holiness. But that's not all. The fourth thing is that you will have the fire of God on your life. The anointing. In the Penang Convention, we spoke about the Shekinah glory of God. There are three levels of the Shekinah glory. The first level is what we call the first level of the Shekinah glory is what we call the revelation. Just the introduction, the beginning. Second is the manifestation. Because the revelation will bring a word of the Lord, a command from the Lord. And as you obey it, you get a manifestation. Then you obey that manifestation, you get number three, the transformation. Transformation is linked up to the fire. It's when God Himself dwells in you. Your nature changes until it's like the nature of God. You're transformed like Christ. God doesn't just want manifestation. If Jesus appear in your life, if Jesus appear in your bedroom, if Jesus appear right here and you see Him in a vision, He doesn't just appear for nothing. He appear that when you see Him, you may be changed into the same image. Glory unto glory. You find these three also in John chapter 14. It says that if you love me, you will keep my word. Revelational level. And he that keep my word, I will manifest myself to him. Manifestation. He will appear to you in his own way. Then he says, my Father and I will come and abode with him and sup with him. Transformation. The natural becomes spiritual because God Himself is in you and you're in God. That's the fire, the flame. Notice the dual blessings. It says here in verse 18, the house of Jacob shall be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame. House of Joseph is the church, which tells us that this prophecy is dual. It's for both the Israelites and the church. And it says, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them. And no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau. And it has come to pass. Every word of prophecy in the word comes to pass. Why should this scripture, I know that this, there were a lot of other prophecies that possibly were not preserved in our Bible. Why does God preserve it for us in the New Testament? Because there is a prophecy about the last days. You must know here that the Edomite region is an important area in the last days. The area that we call Mount Seir or Edom, the mountainous region, is important. Why must God speak about that nation and say that nation about this area? Look at verse 19, 20, 21. The inhabitants of the south shall possess the mountains of Esau. The inhabitants of the Philistine lowland, they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Then saviors or deliverers shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. Now, verse 19, 20, 21 have not fully come to pass. They are in the future. Up to this day, 1992, it's still partially in the future. When will it come to pass? That is why this book is preserved. Because the complete fulfillment will be in the 7-year period after this church age. We see here there's an interesting thing in verse 19. That who will possess the mountains of Esau in verse 19? The inhabitants of the south. Now the same inhabitants of the south are mentioned again in verse 20. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. So we see here that the south, the southern part of Israel, Jerusalem, in although it's a bit in the central, is slightly towards the south. It's in the tribe of Judah, which is on the south. And Edom or Mount Seir is on the southeast. the south and he moved slightly to the east.